It's time for Golf DMV, highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And now, here is Claude
Welcome
Jennings.
Back to Golf DMV, 1500 AM. That's Federal News Network for those who are in the DMV. And golfdmvpodcast.com is the website for all of those who downloaded via podcast. By the way, shout out to a couple of listeners ordering some hats. Those orders have gone out, so you should receive those fall winter hats relatively soon. Thank you so much for your contribution to the Golf DMV podcast.
Please, thank you.
More merchandise on sale, by the way, all things Golf DMV at golfdmvpodcast.com. Buy things. Vernon's in studio this week again. Vern, what's up?
What's happening?
And also LB is remote again because he travels when it's cold in the DMV to go play golf. LB, what's up?
Hey, man. How y'all doing?
We're doing good, man. How are you?
Excellent, man. We finished our third round today. I'm on my second Grey Goose in lime and lemon, so I'm feeling good.
So explain to the people where you are. We'll get into your rounds and what's going on. Well, we'll get into your round and most of the things that you're doing where you are.
Yeah, yeah.
We won't cover everything, if you know what I mean. But explain where you are.
You're going to have to cover everything because it's on Instagram now.
Listen, you can just go see it at Golf DMV Podcast.
Right. Yeah. Wait a minute. You posted that stuff on Golf DMV Podcast?
Wait a minute, hold
on. You have to read it for yourself, man. I think it's pretty funny. It's funny to me. It may not be funny to nobody else, but, you know, I entertain myself, so that's okay. How we work.
Well, it's funny because I've had to explain to several people that I know that I'm not the only one who has access to the Golf DMV Instagram.
I saw your comment the other day.
Right.
Hey, this is not a Claude O'Vern. This is LB.
This is LB. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to stop putting my initials every time I post them so they know.
There you go.
Yes, that would help. That would help, Bob. Yes, but anyway, yes. Where are you and who's with you and what's going on?
Yeah, so we're in Orlando. We being me, Rodney, Steve, and Reggie are in Orlando. Today is the last day of our fall golf trip. We play three rounds, and we're coming home tomorrow, Monday, the Veterans Day.
Sweet. Great, great. So we'll get into where you played and how everybody did and what's going on with you guys in a second. But today, Vernon and I got out some great fall golf, by the way. I mean, temperatures right in the mid-50s here in the DMV, a little bit of sunshine.
Yeah, a little bit of wind. It definitely started off warmer than it finished, yeah.
So here's the deal. So we were trying to figure out where to play.
Right.
Because at first we were going to go to City Swing with our friend Tari Cash.
Yep.
But we saw the temperatures were going to be good. So we said, we can get out and play.
Yep.
We'll get to City Swing soon enough. And we'll get back there. We liked it there. So the text is going back and forth trying to figure out where we're going to play.
Right.
And so I think I sent Vern three options.
Yeah. 1757, Woodlands, and East Potomac. So I didn't even see East Potomac. I just ignored that off the break. And then...
Because we haven't played there.
Yeah. I mean, the D is...
It's the only course in D.C., out of D.C., Maryland, Virginia, that we probably would play, right?
Yeah, that's true. I guess, because Langston, that's tough. I know Rick was said he's got his golf club stored out there or something. So,
yeah, you got to have your concealed carry if you want to feel safe. Anyway.
Yeah, so he said East Potomac Woodlands in 1757. I recommended 1757 since you hadn't played there. The only reason... I picked it over the Woodlands is because I thought, I was basically erring towards Virginia courses because it was going to be a little bit warmer out.
Right.
Than Baltimore. And it ended up being about the same, whatever. Yeah. But that was the only reason I went for 1757. And you haven't seen it yet. So.
Right. Hadn't seen it yet.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to 1757, LB, doesn't like that place.
Vehemently hates the course. And really, after today, I can say it's unfair. It's just because he's not good. So, Hey, listen. We're not good either. But something about this course is just because Little Bennett is tough too.
Right.
And, we love playing there. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It remind me to do this comparison with Little Bennett in 1757 a little bit later in the show if I forget. So we get there and so we say we're going to play 1757. LB, you send a text message leaving out some words that we can't air on radio. What did you say about that course?
I said I had a couple of different texts. One of them was, I wish you all, I curse you with 11 lost balls, I believe, like that.
because when you played there, I think you said you lost close to 13?
That's what I thought.
It was some ridiculous number. It really was. Because if it didn't go in the water, it went into that tall grass they have running along the fairways, and you just can't, you can't find
it,
So.
And here's the thing, and that stuck in my mind because literally this Sunday morning before I left out the house, I was downstairs and my wife was, you know, when you know, you're getting ready to play, what are you doing? I was getting more balls and putting them in my bag. Right. I was counting how many I had. I said, because LB said the last time he played that he lost about 13 or so.
Right.
I need to make sure that I've got two dozen in here just in case, like, it lives up to that height.
Right. It wasn't wrong, you know?
Right, yeah, right. Yeah, no, I can see how you can lose a ton of balls at 17.
You're going to take some L's.
Absolutely. You're definitely going to take some L's. So we were able to get out. Our buddy Aaron from Fredericksburg made it out with three of his buddies.
So yes. Aaron came out?
Oh, cool. Okay. Aaron came out with three buddies. I'm trying to remember everybody's name. Troy.
Charlie, and Rufus.
Rufus, yeah. Right. Now, Troy pulled up in a Bentley. Okay?
Yeah, he did. Big money Troy.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah.
All white.
Yeah, all white everything.
Yeah.
I think he had like the little tan
brown
interior.
Tan leather interior.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything that nice before.
He's ready to shoot a Hype Williams video, bro. It was nice. It was nice.
Right.
Wow.
So yeah, he pulled up in a Bentley. So that's what was going on. So it was 11:30.
Yep.
Let me say this. Listen, in the summertime and springtime, I'm all about the 7 o'clock tea times.
Yep.
But I liked 11:30, man.
Yeah.
Get up, you know what I mean? Relax a little bit. We ate breakfast here. Got up in the morning. She cooked breakfast and we were just talking and man, he's running around. We had time to just do stuff in the morning before I left the plane.
Yeah, I was telling Claude, it was refreshing for the old lady too, for Keish, because she's like, man, you're going to be gone all day. I was like, yeah, but in the morning, I can get up and make breakfast for the kids, mm-hmm. get them all situated. You don't have to do that. You can sleep in. And, you know, she enjoyed that. So she was a little bit happier seeing me leave at that time.
Yeah, a little bit later in the day. Exactly. So but again, during the summer, springtime, not I'm all happy. About, yeah.
Yeah. Nope.
Because
you didn't get out.
Yeah, we'd get stuck behind everybody. So anyway, I left with what should have given me 25 minutes to get there, warm up, hit some range balls. I'm on 495. There's an overturned 18-wheeler right at Wisconsin Avenue. Yep. It's just like, really? And so it delayed everything about 20 minutes.
Yep.
I mean, and I feel bad for the driver. But here's the thing. I feel like in order... to overturn a vehicle,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
You've got to be driving pretty fast and trying to hit a turn because it wasn't wet here in the
Sunday
DMV.
Morning, dry, empty.
So I'm just like, why are you driving so fast?
Yeah.
Why are you hitting that curve so fast? It's Sunday morning.
That part of 495, that's when accidents happen, it's always there.
Listen.
No turn.
Especially if there's rain.
Yeah.
But it was a great day. Yeah. There was
beautiful
no
day.
Rain.
Really? Dry.
The reason that happened was because I was going to go play golf at 11:30. Right. And so, but Vern had his own troubles getting up there.
Yeah, I took an L on 267, just mashing 77 miles an hour. And the old Johnny Law, giant Johnny Law got me with his little gun standing out on the shoulder Sunday morning. Nobody else out there. And so now I tried to be slick because he hit me. And then, you know, it took him a minute to get into his car. So I like filed into traffic, like tucked in between two cars. What? And then next thing I see, just like a parting of the seas, all these cars start getting out of the way. I was like, no, don't move. So I moved with them. And then, of course, they kept moving. Right. And then it was me. So, yeah. Yeah. So I got to pay that ticket.
Where were you at? You had 267.
Yeah, 267.
Toll road.
Dulles toll road. Yep.
And then of course you get the stupid question of, you know why I pulled you over? It's like, can we not do this? Just tell me. Just say, hey, you were speeding. Here's your ticket.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, well, he hit me with this. He hit me with I think he knew why, but he was like, do you know what the speed limit is on 267? Mm. I played dumb. I was like, I don't know, 65, 70. I don't know. I said that.
Right.
He was like, it's 55. I was like, oh, okay. Like, how fast are you going? I was like, I don't know, 60, 65. You going 77. Oh, dang.
I hardly noticed, officer. Such a nice day.
I'll say this for him because, you know, in Virginia, what is it, anything over 20? Is reckless.
Right.
He was cool. He said, I'm going to knock it down to under. Just pay your fine or you can come to court or whatever. So at least it's not reckless. So yeah. I'll give him that. Nice. But he should have been out there. Yeah.
So here's the question. Did you give him a golf DMV card, business card?
No, I wasn't feeling that. I wasn't feeling super, you know, thanks for knocking it down to 20. We'll just keep it at that. We're even now.
Like, by the way, listen to my radio show and podcast.
Hey, listen, LB.
Because I am going to talk about you.
Hey, listen, he gives me a warning. He gets a hat. Right. He gets a free hat. Right. But I still got to pay that fine. So we even.
So that's all that happened, just trying to get to the place. So I get there and I get to the parking lot. I park right next to Vern. I see Vern coming up through the parking lot. And let me tell you something. You know, we say this all the time. When it comes to Vern, Coach B, these brown guys are great. I got my bag. I'm walking up. I do have my earbuds and I was listening to a little bit of music. And Vern says, hey, you know, here's where the clubhouse is. you know, go ahead, check in, give me your bag. He put the bag on the cart. I mean, we were in a rush. Like, you know, well, I got there maybe 4 minutes before tea time.
Yeah, but I mean, just to speed it up.
Yeah, just to help out. So that was great. And so we get up there, finally got a chance to play with Aaron, Fredericksburg. I like Aaron, man. Nice guy. He's really easy to play with, man. Just a really good dude.
Yeah, a legit golfer too. Like, down to go anywhere, anytime. He's proven himself time and again. So that guy.
And I love when people who live far doesn't mind to travel to where you are to play.
Right. People who understand that, hey, unless you're going to play the same six courses over and over again, you have to drive.
And I wish that people who I know or associated with who live like in like Waldorf and La Plata would stop having stuff in Waldorf and La Plata. Like my sister, right? Let me just go on a personal thing right now. Like, yep. So last year, because she got married last year, we had, you know, Thanksgiving at her house, right? You know, cause she wanted to do it. We just got married. Everybody's happy, but they live in Waldorf. So we did it.
Right.
Now she's like, so what's the plan for this year? It's like, it's what it's been every year. It's going to be at our house in Silver Spring. Nobody's traveling to Waldorf. Nobody's doing it. Listen, President Trump, you know, missed me with all the Mexico wall stuff.
Right.
But if you want to build a wall in Waldorf,
we good.
I'm good.
There's nothing down there for you to do.
No, nothing. I don't want to go down there anymore. I'm tired of it. And so Manny's got a friend who, well, he's not Manny's friend. The kid's mom is our friend. And so there's a birthday party next weekend. Guess where it's at?
In Waldorf.
Of course.
Chucktown. Oh, man. That's what I call it. Charlestown. Right on the edge of PG. Yep. Where's Seth's dad?
Get a hotel room.
Oh, well, Seth is in Prince Frederick.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think. Like, okay. Yeah, all way down four.
Way down four.
Yeah, okay. Not quite Lesby.
Right.
But I'd rather go there because at least four, it's not that bad. And once you get to four and you just go straight down, it's another 30 minutes.
Right.
Waldorf. I mean,
301.
And there's always traffic.
Always.
Yeah. All right, anyway. Yeah. Build that wall in Waldorf.
Yeah, don't go
President
to Waldorf.
Trump. Yeah. Anyway. So we get there, meet Reggie. So a little bit about 1757. I'm not going to talk about my game. I played like trash.
Right.
Although I guess it was better than I played at Whiskey Creek.
Whiskey Creek or Worthington?
Worthington. Yeah, wait, yeah. Was I better than Worthington? Or was it about the same amount of trash? I don't know.
Maybe about the same. Maybe Worthington was a little better.
Where, oh, really?
I feel like your short game was better at Worthington. Okay. I don't remember as many troubled chips and flops.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah. And, you know, it's always good to get outside perspective on your game. I mean, I played trash like trash at both places.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. Listen, I'm not trying to come at you, but yeah, you know, it wasn't great. Yeah, this one felt worse though than Worthington because I felt like your back nine on Worthington was all
right. Right, you know what? That's what it was. Front nine at Worthington was
really
ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, by the way, I hadn't touched a club since Worthington, but you hadn't either, you started out on fire on that front nine.
Yeah, and I did get it. I did get there with maybe 10, 15 minutes. Had a chance to warm up, and that did help. But yeah, it wasn't too bad. I ended up 17 over LB, if you were wondering.
Now you guys know me. I never like stop keeping score, no matter what it is. I stopped keeping score in the It was that bad. It was that bad. But anyway, so initial thoughts on the course. I like 1757.
Yeah.
Now again, I played like trash, played like garbage. I only lost six balls, LB. I didn't lose.
Yeah, 13. Only lost three. So go ahead and have that.
Yeah. So between the two of us, we had 11. We lost 11.
So my question is, you said you like it. What do you like about it?
So here's what I like about it, and I don't think I've ever said this about any other course on a review at Golf DMV. I feel like 1757 is a course that if you work in that area, live in that area, it is, and it depends on like the membership packages with like the practice area and the driving range. It is a course that's worth being a member at, simply because if it includes, if your membership like at Tantalian in Fort Washington, Washington National, if it includes golf balls and practice range time and short game area, if that membership is all inclusive and the course itself, it's a great course to be a member at because you can practice every part of your game there.
Yep.
Like, it's not extremely long.
No.
And it reminds me almost of Falls Road in the fact that it's not super long.
Right.
It's not long. So you can get a different challenge from playing from the back tees and then the white tees, where you can work on short irons, you can work on your long irons, you can work driver out if you play from the tips. And so you can work on every area of your game on the course, but then that short game area?
Yes, it was ridiculous.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it extends pretty much. If you've never been, we encourage you to visit the range at 1757. The short game area extends pretty much from the very beginning of the range. If you, you know, I don't know, maybe 60, 70 yards all the way down.
Yeah,
full bunkers, everything. It's very nice.
Bunkers all over the place, chipping, putting, all that stuff. And the driving range, really, really nice.
Yeah, and they have a separate building just for teaching.
Right,
that building
right.
on the left was like they've the little institute.
Building to the left for the teaching. Yeah. They have, you know, the little cafe. It's cool, but they got the dining area there, the pro shop. You know, I just think that if you were going to pay a couple hundred dollars a month for a membership, that spot's the spot to go.
Agreed.
Because of the practice area and just the way the course is set up, that you can practice every part of your game on the course.
Agreed.
You get what I'm saying, LB?
Yeah, I'm with you. I have a coworker who has a membership there. His wife bought him like a Christmas present or something for a year. So that's where he practices at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so but you see how like the way that course is set up, like how I feel like, you know, it's a great practice course.
Yeah, I just don't like the course itself and all that tall grass around it and all the water. But, you know, I'm in Florida. Every course has water everywhere in Florida. So.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, it doesn't come into play as much or what?
We're here?
Yeah, Florida.
Well, I think the big difference is my drives have been straighter.
Okay.
What did I say at the top?
Well, exactly. Like, it gets back to just the state of your game.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And that's the thing. I played poorly, but it's not the course's fault. Like, it's not an unfair course.
Right.
It's literally because I was garbage. I could have took that game to Paint Branch and played nine holes and still would have scored over 100.
Yeah. Shot
50-50. Right. Yeah. So a couple things about the course. Number one, it's not a long course.
No.
Also, it looks easier than it plays. Like, I mean, you look at this and you're like, okay, this hole is not challenging.
Right.
The minute you hit the ball, you're challenged.
Exactly. Exactly. I think what Claude said on the course, LB, was apropos, where he was like, it's basically a standard course in terms of difficulty, but it magnifies your mistakes.
Yes.
3,000%, which is kind of like the a little bit
you
know, type.
You cannot make a mistake at 17.
Yeah. The ball's gone.
Right.
Right.
And
exactly.
I assume that's what LB doesn't like about it. Maybe he thinks it's edging slightly towards unfair, LB. Is that what you think?
Yeah, exactly. Because even with the, let's say if you're 10 yards off the fairway, your ball is gone. In a lot of the holes, because the rough was, I don't know, what, 3 feet? You know, they had that tall grass or whatever that they could have mowed, but they choose not to. So if you are a little bit off the fairway, if you're a little bit inaccurate, you got to drop a ball and take a penalty. And that was my problem with the course. A lot of the areas where they could have mowed it down so you could at least find your ball, they choose not to. So if you're accurate, oh, it's a great course. But if you're a regular, you know, a regular player like me, where you have some errant shots from that, you know, time and again, you know, you're losing 11 balls.
Well, speaking of being accurate, Vernon was on fire. But we'll get to Vern's game in a second. Vern was on fire. So for me, with the conditions, 1757 to me was in great end of season conditions. Like, nothing was really burned out, you know, cause sometimes we hear from courses, oh, well, it's been a crazy season. We had a lot of, you know, play on it.
Right.
I'm sure 1757 had the same thing, but it was still in good condition, not spring condition. You know what I mean? But in good end of season, you can tell folks been playing there, but it was still in good condition.
Yeah, it looked presentable. It didn't look like it had been, you know, beat, you know, to hell and back or whatever.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, so, no. And so a really good condition. Like I said, a challenging course. Now, here's the thing when I compare Little Bennett to 1757.
Okay.
When you look at Little Bennett, when you play there and you look at the scorecard and you play through the round, it's obvious why it's a tough course. Like, you look at this and say, this is a tough course, and it plays tough.
Right.
1757, you're playing it and you're saying, this should not be this hard.
No.
Like, this course doesn't look as hard as it plays, but
right.
it plays as hard as Little Bennett.
Yeah. And you know what? When LB said that, I will give him that. Like, I don't think it's, I can see your argument, LB. I don't think it's quite unfair, but he is right in that. Like you said, because he said 10 yards. That made me think, and I was like, ooh, I started thinking about some of my drives. Like, yeah, well, you're not like, you know, miles into the woods.
Right.
But you're just a little bit off. Like the few I had today where LB, where like I maybe hit like a bank near water and it trickled, or even landed in the fairway and just ran into the water.
Right. Yeah.
So I can see that. And the greens too. A couple of greens missed and then you're gone. And you, yeah. So I'll give you that it's edging tough or whatever. But the thing that I like about it, or the thing that makes me want to come back or whatever, is the fact that basically if your iron game is on, Tiger Woods set five down, I feel like you can do really well there.
Oh, 100%. And and it's funny because outside for a few of the par fives, maybe, and the long fours, you don't necessarily have to use driver.
No.
You know, if you're solid with your long irons, you can long iron off the tee all day. And it reminds me of Falls Road in that manner.
Right. I got one criticism here, though, for this ridiculous par three they have. Because Aaron was right. They have a par. Right. If you haven't been there, there's a par three seventh. All right. From the 6,100 tees or whatever. That's 250. It was 250.
Right.
It was 250 LB, 249 off the sea. I mean, that's at that distance, that's a little ridiculous. I think the whites, even it couldn't have been much less. It might have been 220 or something.
Might have been right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll give you that. I'll give you like maybe edging in that direction, whatever. But I think the way we've been playing this year with the irons, I like the challenge of being able to go back there.
It reminds me of the par three on the back nine. I forget the number at National Golf Club Tantalian, where you're on the tee box and just garbage all around you except the green,
right?
And it's about 189 yards or so, 190. Ooh. Yeah, and you gotta hit on the green or you're short.
It's done.
Yeah, I mean, but no, you're right about that par three. By the way, Vern parred that par three today.
I did.
The long one? Oh wow.
Yeah. Okay. With a three wood, I mean, complete luck. Yeah. I was just like, please just don't top it.
Well, no, you say luck, but you were striking on that front nine.
The three wood was actually okay.
It was really consistent with what you had been doing the whole time.
Yeah.
He hits it past the green, but not too far, just in the fringe. To the left fringe, right? Well, if you're facing the green, left fringe, yes. Right? Yep. Towards the back. Mm-hmm. And then he hits this great chip that leaves it like 2 feet from the hole, and then just knocks it in for par.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised. Because last time we were there with LB, I mean, everybody was just like in the fairway, basically, for
right.
The par three.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
It was nuts. Yep. So 1757, I enjoyed it. Vern, let's go through your round, man. I mean, I played like garbage, but Vern was great.
Just really quickly, like I said, it was the highlight is started well, had some trouble in the middle, and then finished well. And that's what got me to the 17 over. 43, 44. Lots of pars. I think what Claude is alluding to is one over? I was only one over through five. So that's why. So kind of, LB will probably have something to say about this because he sent us a scorecard earlier this week. I kind of blew up, had a couple doubles or whatever, and then finished strong with multiple pars on par threes and fours towards the end. Nothing crazy, but much better than I did last time, which LB can attest
to. And that's what I wanted to ask you. So
given, I played like trash.
Given what happened the first time you were there,
right?
Did you come this time with a certain level of focus and like intention on like, yo, I'm going to prove something to this course that you didn't really have the first. You didn't know what to expect the first time, but knowing what to expect, do you feel, was your focus level a little different or like, were you dialed in?
Absolutely. It was. And for context, 94, we played September 8th and I got a 94. And so I got 17 over this time, whatever that is, 87. So, seven strokes difference. The intention this time was to really not, I took driver, I think more last time. It took like longer shots. This time I was like, you know what? Just get it to the yard marker, 150 yard marker, So there were no, and again, I think there is something to be said for having seen a course once where you're okay.
Sure. I know what I got to do.
Yeah, I can come up short a little bit here and you'll be all right. So that's part of it. So I do want to go back again, see if I can get lower.
So LB, Vern wants to go back there again. I like it. I want to go back there again. Would you go back there again?
Oh, yeah. Of course I would go back. Okay. I mean, I might talk smack about it afterwards, but we'll see. Some of my shots have been better, so I might play better than I did last time. I'm always up for a challenge, even though I might talk smack about it. I'll still go back and try to get my revenge.
Nice.
I mean, how many times have we played the gauntlet and it's been kicking my ass every time?
Well, and Little Bennett, you know what I mean? But so Vern, I don't remember the score you gave it last. I'm pretty sure it was probably an A or a B plus.
Yeah,
what's the score you gave it?
Yeah, A. Same. A. Yep.
Yeah, same here. A. And like I said, for me, it is the first course that I would say this is worth a membership to be there, simply because the way the course plays, I feel like it's a great kind of practice course, and I believe it's with the practice area too. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. I feel like if this was your home course and you got good here, you could be really good in other places.
Oh, absolutely.
Provided you had the length.
Now, there was one thing we were talking about, LB, when we were out on the course, me, Vern, and
Aaron.
He had mentioned the fact that apparently Aaron and Vern are both equipment junkies. And so they were talking about all the new stuff that they were going to buy for the next year.
All the 2020 that's coming out, LB. What's up? Can we talk you into some new irons or something like that? Or what's happening?
So what you can do is talk me into picking up your hand-me-down.
Okay.
And that's what we'll do.
Well, you know they're coming. You know they're coming. So, Aaron.
Well, I got dibs on. That's all I got to say. I got dibs.
I mean, I think you're the only one, pretty much, Claude.
Yeah, because I can't play, you know, left-handed. But what's interesting is that Aaron had talked about having clubs, trading them back in to get a different set or a different driver, and then going back to buy the one that he just traded in because he liked it. You know what I mean? Like, just that whole thing of, yeah.
Where he and I differ is that I just pile mine up in the closet like a golf hoarder.
Yeah,
and then give them away, just like, you know, some sort of golf, you know, anthropologist or something like that. I was like, oh, you know, I want to help these people out and bring up their game or whatever. So equipment, you know, Claude can get equipment because he's left-handed. He can get the bags. You probably get this year's bag next year.
Joe's
going to release something. And then, LB, there'll be plenty of drivers and irons available. So hope you like
Mizuno. There you go.
And so, exactly. By the way,
I tell you what, look at it this way, Vern. You are helping my retirement fund.
By the way, at the Villages, if that's where you end up, can we play there if we visit you? Like,
oh, absolutely. Okay. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, then, yeah, maybe it comes back to help.
I think so.
And there you go. Golf DMV,
full folks. Full circle, as they say. Full circle.
Go to the website, golfdmvpodcast.com. That's the website. Now, again, we were talking to Aaron, and we just asked him how he found the show. We talked about his commute into work. He listens to a lot of podcasts. He found us. It was funny because he said when he first saw Golf DMV, he said, oh, this is going to be some garbage. Yep. This is going to be some trash. But he listened because he said, you know, a lot of these golf podcasts are kind of stuffy, you know, and real stiff and just kind of getting into the stuff that regular golfers don't really get into. Right. And then he listened and he loved it. You know what I mean? And he said he reached out, and next thing you know, we hit him back and we're playing together. So I'm just saying that. So folks in the DMV, again, we're trying to build this community of golfers here at Golf DMV. And so if you're listening to the podcast, you want to get out and you want to play, just email us, golfdmvpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll schedule a round and we'll play.
Yeah.
Now, if we don't invite you back, that's because you're a jerk.
Yeah.
But but we'll give you room to self-improve. Just improve in some cases it's character, but sometimes it's being just socially aware.
Right.
But we'll let you know, like, hey, we don't want to play with you again because of these three things. And then because I believe in redemption. And so it's like, if you improve on those things, we'll play with you again. Because whether it's been Brandt, whether it's been, I can't think of one person who we met who we haven't played with.
That we don't like. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That we don't. Yeah. No, yeah. No. So far, so good.
Right.
So far, so good. Don't be the first one. Also, we're on Instagram. You mentioned email. Yeah. Instagram at Golf DMV Podcast.
Golf DMV Podcast.
Yeah. You can DM us too. Plenty of people DM us asking about rounds. Yeah.
Now, with the Instagram, we all have access to it. And so LB posts some things, I post things, and Vern does.
Right.
And just letting everybody know, like the things that I posted don't represent everyone here.
Right.
There are some things that, So anyway, we're going to get down to what's happening with LB. Most of the things that's happening in Orlando right after this break. If you listen on the radio, you're going to get top of the hour news, podcast stuff. LB is going to give you a quick commercial read to sell some stuff. GolfDMVPodcast.com is the website. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is LB from Golf DMV. Have you thought about advertising your business? Well, consider us as your cost-effective advertising solution. We offer a variety of options and terms to meet your needs. Contact us at golfdmvpodcast.com for more information.
It's time for Golf DMV, highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
Golf DMV on 1500 AM Federal News Network, golfdmvpodcast.com. Again, shout out to Aaron and Troy and Rufus and Charlie.
Yes.
Coming out to 1757. Shout out to 1757. You know, I had a ball. But LB, by the way, is remote again, because as Coach B pointed out, you know, speaking of Coach B, LB, you would know, you would love this. Based on last week's episode where we read Coach B's email about how he believes Vern can drop three strokes easily if he would just putt with two hands. That was a recurring joke.
The whole round, getting it every round.
And let me tell you, Vern was doing some great lag putting. And I'm telling you, I wanted him to get tired of it, but he just wouldn't like get irritated and like kind of lash out at me. But I was hoping he would. every single time he lag putted 3 feet from the hole, I was like, that would have gone in if you had just put your other hand on the club.
I need that left hand, LB. I mean, I made one from like off the green. It's like, well, I mean, you know, maybe it would have gone a little bit cleaner.
Right.
If you just had to.
Yeah. So shout out to all those guys for coming out. We had a good time. So LB, you are in. Like Coach B said, folks trying to keep their game straight during the fall and winter. You know, one thing that LB does because he has the means to do it.
Right.
And I love. Listen, I ain't hating that he has the means to go travel to warm weather places to play when it's cold in the DMV. Right. So LB, where does your adventures lead you now?
So we are in Orlando, Florida, and I'm going to back up one thing to say, everybody can do this if you plan. It's not like this super, it's not super expensive. Mm-hmm. So just make that very clear.
Can I interrupt one thing? You're 100% right. Cause LB, Vern, myself and Aaron got to this discussion. You know, you just talk a lot about stuff,
right?
And just how much we love playing the game.
Right.
And I had made the comment that literally it is the only recreational thing that I do for fun. Right. There's very little. I mean, I like experiences like going to concerts and stuff like that, of certain artists that I like, but the point is, when it comes, I don't do this and have muscle cars and do this and right. do that. I literally play golf. And so when you put the money aside for your hobby, you do have time to do stuff like, and means to be able to. Yeah, LB's 100% right.
You
yeah.
can play nights or courses. Yeah, this is your thing. This yeah. is where your time and your money is for your hobby.
It was one thing I was talking to our buddy Seth Mason about. Is like, you know, in the fall and winter when you're not playing a lot, there's two things you could do. Put money aside every paycheck for your spring, summer, and early fall golf money. You know what I mean? And just dump it into account. Just dump if you're not going to play during the fall and winter.
Right.
And then number two, in a very petty way, keep track of all the things your wife does when you're not playing golf in the fall and in the winter. And say, you went to 12 birthday parties, 13 girls night outs at restaurants. Yep. So that's 32 things that you did where I was home with the kids.
32 weeks of golf.
I get to play 32 rounds of golf. Easy, without even talking about it. Like, we should not even discuss what I'm doing. Like, I'm going to play golf this day because 32 times without any explanation,
right.
I should be able to play golf because you were hanging out with your buddies and doing right. stuff in the winter.
Agreed. Yeah, Nicole's not wrong because I do this with Keish. Where anytime she's like, well, I think I'm going to take an extra shift, or unfortunately, sometimes for her it's work, or I'm going to go out with your mom. Hey, go ahead. Because I'm adding them up.
Right.
I'm adding right. them up. I want right. to be in a positive.
Oh, and it's double because see, so my wife, so my mother-in-law, she's a great singer, and she went to Duke Ellington, and she does acting, and she does stuff. And so every now and again, she's in plays.
Yeah.
If I'm going to a play, I mean, that's two rounds of golf. You know what I mean? So yeah, let's go, because they're 6 hours long and then they have hour long intermissions, you know, so that's good for at least two rounds of golf.
I think so. Yeah.
So Christmas play season is coming up. Oh, I'll go.
Yeah.
But that's going to cost you in May. He's going to have to pay a document. Anyway, LB, go right ahead.
Okay. Just a little side note to finish this off, this topic. One of the things I do is I have a vacation account. So when my paycheck is deposited, a percentage of my paycheck goes into a special account called my vacation account. Mm. That's the money I use for my golf trips. So I don't do anything special. I just put money into that every paycheck. And when my trip comes up, I go into the account, I withdraw, and I'm done.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Smart.
It's planning. Really, it's just planning. That's all it is.
Yeah.
I mean, in Vern, you probably spent $500 in golf shoes this year alone.
You know what? You probably, maybe a little more.
Well,
thinking about it.
I don't know. Who knows how much money was spent? I mean, taxes.
Who's keeping track?
Yeah, nobody's really keeping track of that. Yeah, you know. So about Orlando. So
let's talk about enough about Orlando. Me. Let's talk about you.
Yeah, let's talk about me. Right. Okay. So again, there's me, Rodney, Steve, and Bertie are here in Orlando. We got here on Thursday evening. And we played Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, today being Sunday. we're staying at Champions Gate, which is I think they have three courses here, but I'm not sure because we're not playing any of them. We played elsewhere. But it's a really nice community. They have a
any
bunch
particular
of
reason why you, any reason why you played elsewhere?
Yes and no. When I put the So when I do my packages, especially when we do three rounds, the way I kind of set mine up is the first course we play is what I call a municipal. It's fairly easy. It's not expensive either. You know, that's where we start at. It's like a warm-up course.
Okay.
And then we escalate in cost and quality and luxury as we go up in the days. So like yesterday, let me just drop them together. So Friday we played Providence Golf Club, which to me is in Davenport, Florida. It's a muni. I mean, it's nothing more, nothing less. And then the next day, Saturday, we played Walt Disney World, Lake Buena Vista. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely a step up in class, in service, and in course condition.
Okay.
And then today on Sunday we play Hawks Landing Golf Club, which is owned by the Marriott. So that kind of gives you a little hint. It was a pricey. If you would have played this course, I think the rack rate is like, I don't know, 125 maybe or something like that, which is, for down here, it's a little bit high. For home, I mean, that's equal to Whiskey Creek almost, or a little bit over Whiskey Creek, I guess.
Right.
So those are three courses we played. And again, we're staying in, we got a 5-bedroom, 4-bath townhome with a small pool out back. So everybody has their own bedroom and own bathroom. Hey, you want to stop making all that noise? I'm on the phone here.
Here's LB. I didn't even hear any noise.
I didn't hear anything.
So you tough, didn't, tough standards. Okay, it was really loud in my ear. Okay.
So you've got folks there with you, though. I mean, okay, that's Rodney.
Yeah. Rodney's team. Rodney's going to make all that noise and give me the evil eye now. so it's really, I'm sorry. I take that back. He's giving me the TK salute.
Oh, wow. There we go.
Rodney, you've been banned for 3 years.
it's a nice house. To shout out to Rodney because he rented a UConn XL. We've been riding around there, so we've been pimping profiling with leather, sunroof, the whole nine. So that's been fun. So back to the golf. Okay, so Providence Golf Club. It's in Davenport, Florida, which is just off of Disney World, probably 10 miles. I mean, it's really. It's like the DMV. It's all one big area.
Mm-hmm, right.
The course itself was okay. Again, I'm equating it to a municipal. I would not put it if at home. I would equate it to maybe Hampshire Green, something along those lines.
All right.
Yeah. I put Little Bennett above Hampshire Green.
Sure. So yeah,
it's not 100%. A Little Bennett. Mm-hmm. But it's the Hampshire Greens. It has some wear and tear here and there. I know I asked Reggie about it. He liked he hated the sand traps, but he loved the range. They had a really good golf practice range. A lot of targets and stuff like that.
All right.
Of course, all the ranges here are grass, grass tees.
Sure.
The course itself was nothing. Other than that, it was nothing exciting. I shot 94. I haven't added up anybody else's numbers, but I think I had a low score today. I'll take that back. I'm looking at Reggie's numbers right here. That's 4, 6, 10.
He just added up numbers.
14.
Math 16, and radio is exciting.
Yeah, 16 plus, and then he didn't put his last one in there. So that's a bad sign when you don't put the last one in there.
Yeah,
so
par. That means par. Right?
I think I got Reggie on that day. And again, nothing spectacular about that course. I'm going to move along to Lake Buena Vista. So this one was a little bit more interesting because it's a Disney-owned course. Condition was immaculate. He was a problem. He was a problem. It rained like an inch the night of. So that was Friday night. It rained like an inch down here. It stopped raining about 7 o'clock in the morning. We had around a 10 o'clock tee time. So to get to the course. We hear those dreaded words, car pass only.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay. So they tried to make up for it. They said, well, if you go out and play, if you don't tee off on the third hole, you play one and two, and you get to the third hole and you think it's too soggy or whatever, you can come back before you tee off on the third hole and get your money back. You can get a credit or whatever.
Oh.
Of course, we didn't do that. We just logged through it. And it really wasn't that bad. There was a few holes that were really, really soggy, but most of them were, playable. And this is the one where I sent you all my scorecard for the first, front nine. I was 1, 2, 3, +4 through 7.
Right.
And then I went +7 through 8, 9.
Just take us through the emotional roller coaster there, because I would be pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was too. I'm trying to do that woosaw thing or whatever, and just let stuff go.
Like what happens at the villages where it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
Right, have a good time. I had noticed this before, but the one I got the +4 on, that number 5, is the number one handicap hole on the course. So,
okay.
It's what it is. And the number 9 is number 5. So, that still don't mean much, because I'm looking back at the number three handicap, I got a par. What are we talking about here?
Give me those numbers again. You were +7 on the last two holes on the front 9.
Yeah.
But on the first 7, you were +1.
+4. +4 through 7.
Okay.
And then +7 on 8, 9.
So if you had to take that +11, would you rather it be spread out through 9, or are you fine with saying, I played lights out the first 7, I just screwed up 2? Like, what's the better L, if that makes any sense? Yeah. Or are they both equally as bad? Yeah. Like, if my +11 is spread out through 9 holes, I can take that. But, or I don't like that. Or would you rather have lights out the first 7 and just screwed up 2 holes?
I would rather screw up the 2 holes, because if I had them all spread out through the thing, then it's like I haven't made any progress. You know what I mean? You just muddling through the round. But when you play, because I was par bogey, par bogey, par bogey, bogey. So I mean, I'd rather do it that way than do +2, bogey, +1, +2, kind of thing.
You want the feast or famine, where it's like, hey, I'm killing it, and then just everything falls off, because at least you have the confidence of knowing it's like, well, through 7 holes,
I was playing golf,
I was solid, because if you sort of take that and just put it across your entire golf game, that's when you're just sort of middling, where you're fighting. You're just like, man, I don't know what's going on. I got you. Okay.
Why am I out here?
Pretty much.
I'm wasting my time and my money. I got to start practicing more.
So shout out to Garrett Harding, the instructor over there at LP. He hit us up on Instagram and asked, he was just curious what your thoughts would be about the course, because I think he said he had a chance to play that when he was down in Florida for Disney's Lake Buena Vista.
Yeah, I saw that. But before we go to Lake, let me go back, because we had another Instagram question from Prince George's 15. I'm not sure what his name is, but that's his Instagram handle. And he asked about Providence. So just to recap that, it's a muni course. Nothing spectacular about it. The staff was really nice for the most part, and the range is really decent range. I would recommend it like we did it when we came down for three rounds, and make that your first course. That's your warm-up course.
Good warm-up,
exactly. So that's what I would suggest that course for. Okay, so now back to Lake Buena Vista. And I'll get to Gary here in a minute. Well, I'll get to all of it. So like I said, they had a 1-inch of rain. We talked about the whole thing. Because it had rained so much, they had told us, the starter had told us, that it's going to be car path only, so it's going to be slow today. So, they really press you to keep up with the group in front of you. But because it's going to be slow and wet and all that stuff, they was going to kind of relax some of that, being so stringent on your timekeeping.
Okay.
Keep that in mind.
Sorry. So you're playing Rick Speed. Got it.
Right.
Rick McGraw. Right. Well, I had a great time.
Yep.
So we come around, we make it through. We kind of keeping up to the court, the group in front of us, the support in front of us. We catch them every other hole. We'll catch up to them. We'll see them coming off the green as we stand off, kind of thing. So we're not super, slow, but we're a little bit slow, but not real slow.
You're about a shot behind them. If they're on the green, you're like pulling up to the tee box.
Right.
Or two shots. Okay.
Maybe 3 to 5 minutes behind at that point.
Okay, got it.
So Mr. Eatemup, I call him. That's Reggie, because every time it's food available, he seems to, he can't go past it. So when we get up to the eighth hole or whatever, he orders food. So we get up there, he goes to get his food, and of course it's not ready. Mm-hmm. As they, you order ahead of time, it's not ready. So we wait. He finally gets his food. So we get to the 10th hole.
Did anybody else get food?
No.
Okay.
Just see where this is going. This was a theme for the weekend.
Because this is my thing. Normally when we make the turn, I ask, anybody going to get anything?
Right.
And usually whether it's restroom stops or quick drink, but if someone else is getting food, okay, cool, let's get something to eat. If right. someone else is getting it, no one else is getting it. I'm right. kind of like, okay, cool, I'll just get some chips and let's roll.
Just press on.
Yeah.
Okay. Keep it moving. Right.
Okay.
So we get to the 10th tee, and we're just teeing off, and the group behind us pulls up. So, now we press, right? So we get off that tee, and we get off to the next hole. We played out when we get to the next hole, which I believe is a par three. I'm trying to find the scorecard here. Yeah, we play a 4-4, and then the next hole is a 3. Mm-hmm. When we get to the 3, I'm first out of the car. I grab my, I just stick my tee into the ground with my ball.
Mm-hmm.
And the marshal lady, it's a lady, comes up and says, you are behind, so I'm going to ask you to skip this hole.
Ooh.
And move up to the next hole.
You got
the
skip notice. Now,
right.
Exactly. She wouldn't say that to Brooks Koepka.
She would not.
But then Brooks also wouldn't be behind. But anyway, Brooks would have told Reggie.
He would not be behind.
Brooks would have told Reggie, you want a sandwich, you eat this knuckle sandwich. That's what Brooks would have
told. Get up on that tee box, play that golf, bro.
So in common fashion, I didn't say a word. I just picked up my tee and my ball and went and got in the car and we took off.
Okay. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I was too. I mean, I was steaming inside, but I didn't do anything outwardly. So we get up to the, and she says that she's going to tell the crew behind us, which I actually, let me say that right now. So we're actually with some brothers that I had met earlier, and they were from, they were from all over, but some of them were actually from the DMV. And I gave them our card for our podcast. And I met Jamal, he's who I talked to. So he was one of the group of, I think there was 8 of them. I think they had 2 foursomes.
Oh, wow.
So it was 8 of those brothers. And they were, some of them from DMV, some of them, a couple from some Delaware. I think Jamal is from the New York area. And I think a couple guys from somewhere else in the country. But yeah, they were good guys. And actually, they were playing, when we played Providence the day before, they were there as well. Because when we got to Lake Bonavista, they was like, hey, I've seen y'all from somewhere. Right. we like knew each other, but we had saw each other the day before. So she tells us to go to the next hole, skip the hole. And she said she's going to tell them, hey, I'm on the phone over here. So they tell them to go to the, she says she, to them, they're going to tell them, to skip a hole as well. That's what she tells us.
Okay, right? so basically, you guys are going to be stacked on top of each other at the next hole.
Right. So, okay. Let me finish. So we were on the third on that par three. They were still in the par four.
Mm-hmm.
But she said when they got to the par three, she was going to tell them to skip as well.
Gotcha.
Right. That's what she tells us. But when we skip our hole and get to the par four, the next one, and we're playing and we catch up to the group. We don't even play a whole hole. We get to the next hole. And other people are already in the fairway, the group in front of us. So we didn't really, we didn't really make up any time.
Right.
They were already in the fairway when we got around the corner anyway.
Right.
Didn't need to skip a hole.
Exactly. That's my point. We didn't need to skip a hole. And then the group behind us that she told us that she was going to tell them to skip a hole, we never saw them. So the question becomes is, and I don't know the answer to this, is did she tell them to skip a hole and they said, hell no, we're not doing that? Or did she lie to us and told us that she was going to tell them and they did not tell them? Because we never saw those guys again. They rested around.
Hmm.
So I'm gonna guess LB just based on nothing, just stereotypes. I don't know what. I'm gonna guess that the interaction probably just went differently. I'm not gonna guess that she lied to you. My assumption is that she rolled back there and said, "Hey, y'all need to skip this hole," and then there was an exchange, or they said, "Okay, cool." Pack sand, and she just bounced it. It was like, we ain't skipping nothing. They probably just kept playing.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking happened, probably.
Right.
Especially
right.
especially yeah, if you say you guys were only two and a half, sounds like you were maybe 2.5 shots behind the group in front of you, exactly. and you didn't need to skip in the yep. first place. Yeah. Okay.
All crazy. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think you gave a grade to the first course or the second course. Go ahead and grade these courses.
Not yet. Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. So, Providence Golf Club, I would give it, I'm a hard grader anyway. So, it's a really good C. It's a C plus.
That's fine.
So, in our books, it would be a B.
Yeah.
B plus.
Got it.
No. I think you would give it a C.
Okay.
I think you give it a C. It's a muni. I mean, it's a muni. Again, maybe Northwest might be more accurate.
See all day.
Yeah.
How about Buena Vista?
Okay. Yeah, Buena Vista. Now, this is a solid B if it hasn't rained an inch before a night before.
Okay.
It's a nice course. It's in really good shape. A lot of the greens are elevated. And beautiful greens as well. I mean, you know, it's Florida, so you know they use that funky grass they use down here. But it's a really nice course. A lot of water, a lot of scenery. Because it's on a Disney property too, so they got the little like shuttle boats going through the little river around the fairways and all that nonsense and stuff. And just in case anybody was curious, because I was curious. When we were driving up, I was like, I wonder how many people does Disney employ? The answer is 200, I think it's 210,000 or something like that. Exactly. I'm looking through my notes just to make sure anything else. I talked about Reggie being eat 'em up.
And let me tell you something about Disney, by the way. I mean, they get customer service right. Have you ever been on a Disney property or any Disney cruises or anything like that? They get it right. Like I'm a business owner, and I remember when we took our son Manny on a Disney cruise for his fifth birthday. I was taking notes like on the trip of just how they were treating people, and I was like, I'm implementing this in my business. Right. Like the moment I get back, like they do it right.
Yeah. I mean, there were people everywhere. Because the reason I even looked up how many people they had, because as we were driving into the property, you know, you see the guy driving the towels to the resort. You see the guy driving the cart for this. You know, I mean, there's people everywhere, you know, just doing menial tasks. But, you know, I got to thinking about it. That's a lot of people, you know. So that's the reason I looked it up.
Now, you guys play the third course, right?
Yeah. So the third course is today, which is Hawks Landing.
Okay, Hawks Landing. We're going to get to that on the next edition of the Golf DMV podcast. Also, Aaron is going to send in his thoughts on 1755. So we'll play Aaron's thoughts on 1755 on the next edition. We're going to get LB's thoughts on Hawks Landing. the third edition of the podcast. Because as they say in radio, we're coming up against a hard break. Yep. We just got to end. We got to end the show.
That's it.
And so, yeah, golfdmvpodcast.com. So, that's the website.
Okay, I'll just say the shout out to Brianna Marie. Mm-hmm. We met at Cleo's the other night. Just shout out. Thank you.
Okay. There we go. And Golf DMV. Catch you guys next week.